Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
I want to ask you, if God's been good to you, to give him what he deserves now. Give it up to him. We have been asking you to bring your Bibles because we're digging deep into his word. We want you to bring your own Bible and be going through it together with us. It's going to be on the screen. It's available on the app. But we want you to start digging into his word for yourself. We're going through the book of John. Hopefully you've already gotten the cards that have the readings every day. Last week, we began by learning that Jesus is the word of God, meaning that he's the perfect expression of the heart and mind of God. And he's saying, if you want to know the heart and mind of God, look to me. And as you were reading last week, you already began to read about the miracles he performed to show people who he truly was and that he could truly fill their lives. And so he did things like turning water into wine. He did things like taking the man's son who was near death and healing him just by speaking the word. And then if you read ahead, as some people have already read ahead into chapter 5, you know that when he was at the pool at Bethesda, he healed a man who had been crippled for 38 years. I mean, and he had him get up and take his pallet and walk. And so you're going like, man, Jesus is just showing himself truly to be God, the great I am, come in human flesh to say, I want to show you that I can solve everything in your life. I can give you the life that you really need. And he was proving that. Well, as you go into chapter 6, you'll be reading that this week. And again, don't hesitate to read ahead if you want to read ahead. But as you go into chapter 6, that's where we are today. Now, what I'm going to do in John chapter 6 is I'm just going to explain what's happened in the first 24 verses or so. And as I do that, I'm going to get the little clicker thing that advances the slides. But what happened is, as these guys, have I got one? We don't have one. The little clicker. There you go. Thank you. There you go. Awesome. This is a train wreck morning, all right? Train wreck morning. All my fault. All right, so as we go into John, I just want to tell you what's happened to this point, John chapter 6. Jesus, because he's performed these miracles, great crowds were following him. He had gone across the Sea of Galilee, and he had gone up on a mountain with his disciples and sat down with them. But as he saw this great crowd of people approaching him who had seen the signs of his healings, he said to Philip, who lived nearby there, he said, where are we going to go to buy bread for all these people? And he knew what he was going to do. He really was kind of testing Philip with the question. And Philip answered by saying, Lord, a half a year's wages wouldn't give enough so that each one could have a bite. There's no way that we're going to be able to feed all these people. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. So Andrew came along and he had a small little boy who had 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And so he took that, told everybody to sit down. He began to distribute it among them. Everybody ate until they were completely full, all they wanted. And then Jesus said, now pick up the leftover pieces. And there were 12 basketfuls of leftover pieces of the barley loaves that were left over. And so the people saw this and they were like, oh my goodness, this must be the prophet who was to come into the world. This has got to be the one. They were going to make him king by force. So Jesus withdrew to a mountain by himself. He said, no, that's not, I'm not here for what you think I'm here for. And so he withdrew to a mountain by himself. Later that evening, the disciples got in a boat and headed across to Capernaum. While they were crossing the sea, they were halfway across the Sea of Galilee. There was a strong wind and it was a little bit scary. And they saw Jesus coming to them, walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost and they were afraid. But Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's I. So they led him in the boat. Immediately they reached the other side. So Jesus is just proving he is God, and he's the one who can truly give them life. And as he gets over there, he starts teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Well, the people who had been over there and seen the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, who had previously seen all the miracles of the healings, they have been chasing him down. They said, well, Jesus is gone. The disciples are gone. And so they said they must have gone to the other side of the lake. And by that time, some other boats from Tiberias were there. So they got in those boats and they went across to Capernaum to find Jesus. When they got there, it's where we pick up in verse 25. It says that when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you that you're not looking for me because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Now, here's the deal, is that these guys they got their stomachs full. And basically, now it's a day later, and Jesus had fed them and filled them, and now a day later, they're hungry again, and they're looking to have their fleshly emptiness filled again. So they're kind of looking for another free ticket to the JC's all-you-can-eat fish and barley buffet. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what they're wanting, and they're just about that profane. They're looking just to have their flesh, the emptiness of their flesh filled. Now, the reason that they were all about Jesus is because Jesus had helped fill some of the emptiness of their flesh. But Jesus was saying, I want to fill some of the emptiness of your flesh only to show you that I can fill the emptiness in your soul. But they didn't get that. All they wanted was to feel full in their flesh. And I just want you to think about this. How many times have you ever had a time when you felt really full in your flesh, like your desires, your hunger, your appetites, everything? You felt like you had all you needed. I've told a couple of weeks back, I was talking about a time in my life when it was that way for me. And y'all, at this time, I was a teenager. I was probably in my, 17 years old. And I was just getting back with my girlfriend from eating at La Chateau, and probably it had prime rib there, and I was full. I felt good. I was with one of the most beautiful girls in the school, and at that time, I was lifting weights, and I was feeling strong, and I was doing well athletically. I was doing well academically. I was driving this Jeep CJ5 that was brand new. I just felt filled up. Every desire of my flesh felt like in that moment it was full. Anybody ever been there to where it's like, man, I've just got all the stuff that I could want to make my life feel completely filled up? And what I found was I had worked real hard at that, and I worked hard at that. You're tempted to work hard at that for the rest of your life. I just want to fill the emptiness, and so I want this hole in my flesh to be filled up, whether it's with food or with stuff or whatever the case may be. Now, Jesus went on to say this, don't work for food. I'm sorry, I'll read it from here. Don't work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Now, he's wanting to have you work for the food that endures to eternal life, not for the food that spoils. Now, here's the reality is most of us spend our whole lives working real hard, academically, athletically, working your jobs real hard to fill the emptiness of your flesh. And you have these desires, and it's what you want, and it's what you feel like will make you feel okay. If anybody ever see the movie It's a Wonderful Life? All right, if you hadn't, you need to watch it. In A Wonderful Life, George Bailey is at the train station waiting on his brother to come in, and the train whistle blows, and George says, there it goes. And then he says, you know what the three most exciting sounds in the world are? And his Uncle Billy, who's listening to him, says, yeah, breakfast is served, lunch is served, dinner is served, right? So all he's thinking about is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do you know how much of our time is oriented? Try fasting some, which I hope you'll do as a Christian, that you'll try fasting and you'll realize how much of your life is oriented around breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know what I'm saying? But George is saying, no, that's not it. The three most exciting sounds in the world are anchor chains, plane motors, and train whistles. He's saying, man, what really gets me excited is I'm going to travel the world, he said. I'm going to see Italy and Greece, I'm going to see the Parthenon, I'm going to see the Colosseum, I'm going to, and after I've seen the world, I'm going to come back home and find out what they've learned, know at college and all that kind of stuff, and then after that, I'm going to build things. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high and bridges a mile long. His idea is I'm going to fill up this void in my life by what I can see and what I can build and what I can do and what I can experience. It's still just the emptiness of your flesh. Got this big hole that you're going to fill up. And what's interesting is, no matter how much you put in there, it's never enough. And so no matter how much he fills your portfolio or your trophy case or fills your bank account or fills your bedroom or fills your garage or fills your whatever he gives to you, no matter how much he fills your stomach or any other part of your flesh, it really soon feels empty again. I can remember the emptiness that came when that girlfriend that I was with told me she was going with an older guy to a concert instead of with me. And all of a sudden, I'm shot full of holes, and all that stuff that had filled me up just ran out. Anybody ever been there before? And all of a sudden, I realize I'm empty. And then I'm empty because I hurt my back. I can't lift weights, and I'm feeling like my flesh. I'm feeling like I'm not who I want to be, and I'm not able to get that feeling again. And even when I started lifting weights again and getting strong again, and even when I got my girlfriend back, I started realizing something, that you satisfy that empty place in your flesh and you're going to be hungry again the next day. And beyond that, you satisfy that empty hole in your flesh, and no matter how much you put in it, it is so cavernous that you need more to fill it. So my Jeep CJ5 wasn't good enough anymore. Now I needed bigger tires and bigger rims. I needed a better sound system. I needed more. Anybody ever been there? And all of a sudden, it's like lifting weights. It used to be if I could just bench 225, I'd feel like I'm there. And then I got to where I could warm up with 225 and I still felt weak. Because I got to have more. I've got to always go for more. You're constantly looking for more to satisfy you. If you eat until you're filled like a roly-poly, 6 hours later, you're starving, right? And reality is that in everything that he might give us, he's saying, look, it's never going to fill you. So he's saying, don't work for the food that spoils. Don't work for the stuff that isn't going to fill you and keep you and make it last. John had heard Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount where he said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. Do you recognize this? If you are looking for something here to fill you up, it can get taken away from you in a heartbeat. If you're looking for something here to fill you up, you will be empty again very, very soon. You need to work on that which is going to fill you up and is never going to stop. That's going to be eternal. That's going to have life eternal. That's what you need to be focused on. So he says, don't work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life. And then he says, which the Son of Man will give you. And then he says, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do the work what God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Now, here's me, and I don't know if this is you, but here's me. I'm at this place in my life where I'm working so hard for all the stuff that's going to fill me up, but I'm still concerned about heaven. I'm still thinking that I still want to get to heaven. I still want to be right with God. And so I want to know what else I got to do. I'm going to keep working to fill this emptiness in my flesh. I'll keep doing that. I'm going to keep trying to make more money so I can buy bigger cars. And I'm going to keep trying to do more and satisfy that desire. I want to add to my resume. I want to add to my portfolio. I want to add to my transcripts. I want to add to my possessions and my bank accounts. I want to just keep adding. But at the same time, tell me what work I've got to do so that I can still go to heaven. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? And so you got this little God piece, and I'm going to do this God piece, and I'm going to work for him so that I can still get to heaven. And Jesus answered by saying, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's the work. I'm so sorry. I'm going to back it up. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Let me tell you what to believe in the one he has sent means. It means to believe is to trust in, cling to, and rely on. He's saying, you know what? You want to know what God wants for you? God wants you to be as hungry for me as you are for all that other stuff. He wants you to be looking to me to fill you instead of that other stuff filling you. He wants you to trust in and cling to and rely on me. He wants you to come after me. He wants you to believe in me. And so they go, all right then. So since you want us to believe in you, they said this. I'm so sorry. I opened my Bible to the wrong page. Now we're back. Here we go. All right. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. They asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? what will you do? Can you believe that they would even ask him that? Can you imagine that all of a sudden these people who have been supposedly, they've seen Jesus heal people. They've just seen him feed 5,000 people. They've probably been told by the disciples that he walked on the water to get the halfway across the lake. They're seeing all kinds of miracles around them, but they're asking, what sign then will you give us so that we'll believe? Now, here's the truth. That's where you and I are. We're in the same place. You and I have that tendency that no matter what God does, it's not going to be enough. We're still waiting for him to do something that's going to bring us to that place where we're going to be able to say, yeah, eventually, when I get all my fleshly emptiness filled and God does enough to fill my flesh, then I'll start really, really going after him and really seeking him and really growing in him. Jesus, if you'll just do enough to prove yourself to me, then I'll truly believe in and trust in and cling to and rely on you. They're just looking for more. So they decide that they'll give him an example of what they're talking about. And so he says in verse 31, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Here's what they're saying. They're saying, look, here's what we want you to do for us. What was done for the people of Israel back in the day, they were going through the desert. There was no food, and so God provided manna for them. It was like on the dew of the ground, there would be these coriander seed-looking pieces of bread that were just everywhere, and they would eat that bread. And so he miraculously provided bread for them every single day for 40 years. And so they're saying, look, you just fed us. But what we want you to do is we want you to do something like you did back then, like God did back then for the Israelites. They ate manna, and we want you to do the same for us. If you'll just set us up so that you fill our flesh over and over and over again, as much as we want, as long as we want, then we'll make you king. We just want you to be king of our lives if you'll just fill the hole in the void in our flesh. Let me pick up from there and start in verse 33 through verse 47. I'm just going to tell you that this is what he gets ready to say. He says, look, it wasn't Moses who gave you bread from heaven. It's the Father who gives you the bread from heaven, and I am it. I am the bread of life. He's saying, anyone who comes to me will never be hungry. Anyone who believes in me will never be thirsty. He said, I didn't come to do the will of my own, but I came to do the will of my Father. And here's my Father's will, that everyone who looks to me and everyone who believes in me will have eternal life, and I'll raise them up on the last day. The will of God. Now, that last day expression is used by John to say this. Please hear it. God is saying, my ultimate purpose is on the last day of this creation, I am going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to destroy all evil. I'm going to create paradise, and you're going to be a part of it. That's what I want for you. The Father's desire is that every single person who looks to me, who believes in me, who comes to me, is going to be raised up at the last day, and they are going to have life that never ends. It's God's will that I give life to you, Jesus is saying. So then he goes on in verse 48, and he says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. Now, tune into this because it's extremely important what he says. Your forefathers, your ancestors ate this manna for 40 years, and yet physically they died, and almost all of them spiritually were dead. God had done miracles for them every day for 40 years, and yet they still didn't have a relationship with the Father in heaven. And I want to tell you that is true for every person in this room. If you're constantly looking for God to fill the hole in your flesh, he can fill that hole in your flesh every day for 40 years, and you can still die. Not just physically, you can be spiritually dead, and you can be apart from God forever. He's saying, don't you get it? If I do that for you, if I just keep filling your flesh, it's going to do nothing for you. I need to fill you spiritually. I'm the bread that anyone can eat and live forever. And so then he goes on in the next verse to say this. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. I'm wanting you to know that what I'm planning on doing is giving you life. If you read and you're reading this week, you're reading John chapter 5, verse 24, where he says, I'll tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. They've crossed over from death to life. So he's saying, what I want to do is really give you life. I want to fill your life up and give you real life now that is going to last for all of eternity. I'm going to raise you up on the last day and you're going to be mine forever. That's what will happen if you come to me and let me give you what you really need. You don't need your flesh filled. You need your spirit filled. How many people here right now would just have to start acknowledging I have been oriented my whole life long toward filling the emptiness of my flesh? And instead of filling the emptiness of my soul, instead of filling the emptiness that's there because I don't have the relationship with the God who created me that he would have me to have. And so the next thing he says is this, and it's a pretty powerful statement. He said, this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Here's what Jesus was referring to. He was going to give his life. His body was going to be broken, and he was going to go to a cross, and he was going to bleed, and he was going to die so that these people could live. And he's saying, look, I'm giving this. I've come in the flesh, and I am giving my life so that you can have new life. I'm giving my life so that you can live now and live forever. I'm giving my life so you can be raised up at the last day. I'm giving this all to you, and you need to begin to trust in me and look to me and cling to me and rely on me. Well, the next thing that happens is a statement from those Jews who were gathered there in verse 52. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, when he says that, it just clues you into this fact. They still are not thinking about their real need, which is to have the hole in their soul filled with a relationship with God. They're still thinking about their flesh. And so Jesus, when he says, I'm going to give, this is what I'm going to give. The bread is my body, my flesh that I'm going to give for the life of the world. They're still thinking about filling their fleshly emptiness. And so they're thinking, this sounds gross. He's telling us he's going to give us his flesh to eat. Jesus isn't talking about that at all. But Jesus, the Son of God, goes, listen to this next verse that is so powerful, because in verse 53, Jesus does the most gutsy, courageous, God-honoring, this is the Son of God at his best, because he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to weed out the crowd right now. In this great crowd of people, there are a whole bunch of people who are just looking for God to satisfy their fleshly desires. They're just looking for the sugar daddy to say, I want a better car, I want more food, I want a prettier girlfriend, I want whatever it is that I want that I think is going to fill my life. All of them are looking for having their stomachs filled, having their bank accounts filled, having their portfolios filled. They're looking for the stuff that will fill the holes in their flesh. And he's saying, I'm going to get rid of all of them. And right now, the only people who are going to be left when I'm finished are the people who are truly seeking a relationship with God, who truly want to fill the emptiness of their soul. So here's what he says in the next verse, in verse 53. He says, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Why do you think he did that? The reason he did that was he was saying, like, everybody who's thinking about filling their flesh is going to get grossed out right now. Everybody who's just looking to fill their physical appetites is going to go like, this is sick. But everybody who's really looking for me to give them life and for a real relationship with the Father is going to understand that I'm not talking about filling the flesh. I'm talking about filling the spirit. I'm not talking about them eating my physical flesh and drinking my physical blood. I'm talking about them taking me into themselves. And so he explains it very beautifully and very powerfully when he says this. In verse 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus is saying, look, let me explain to you. I'm talking about me filling you just like the Father fills me. Jesus said, I have life because life is in the Father and the Father is in me. And therefore, I am alive and I'm full. But here's what you need. You need me in you. You need to have life in you, which means you need me in you. You need my heart in your heart. And you need my mind in your mind. You need to be like I am. In chapter 5, you hear Jesus describe it. He said, all I do is what the Father does. I'm just His. And what's in Him is in me. And whatever He desires is what I desire. That's what He's saying you now need from Him. He's saying, look, you need me to fill you. Just as the Father fills me with life, I want to fill you with life. I want to come into your life, fill you with my love, fill you with my passion, fill you full spiritually so that you'll never be empty again. That's what I want to do for you. And so everybody here who's ever been in a place where how many people are in this church who are where I was at that time in my life, who I'm going to church, but the reason I'm going to church is because I'm wanting God to fill my flesh. And He's saying, I'm not interested in filling your flesh. I'm interested in filling this cavernous hole in your spirit. I want to come into your life, and I want to fill you with my love and fill you with my power and fill you with my grace. I want to fill you with life, a life that's never going to end, ever. And so the next thing He says is this in verse 58. In verse 58, He says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He's saying, look, if you want to satisfy your physical desires, you're just going to die. That's all. If all you care about is filling your stomach, filling your bank account, filling your bedroom, filling your garage, filling your passport book, if all you care about is filling your fleshly desires, you're ultimately going to die. And you'll be just like those ancestors in the desert who ate manna for 40 years and never had a relationship with the God who has given it to them. But look, if you'll come and start looking for me to fill your life with what really matters, I'll not only fill your life with what really matters, I'll take care of everything else as well. That's what He had said on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, look, if you seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things are going to be given to you as well. I'll take care of you, but you got to start seeking what really matters. You need to get filled up with me. I have a dear friend who was sharing this experience. He said, this very passage, John chapter 6, he was in, at the time, a drug treatment center. And he said, I had been in a place where really what I wanted was to get my girlfriend back. Really what I wanted was to get my money back. Really what I wanted was to get back to somehow filling my life. And drugs and alcohol I had tried to fill it with were wrecking me. But I'm still looking for, let me get sober so somehow I can fill this hole in my flesh. And he said, and I started realizing it's never going to work. And then he's there in the kitchen, ironically, at a drug treatment facility, and he's got his Bible open, and he's reading the Bible, and he's starting to realize, I need to fill something in me that food isn't going to fill. I need to fill something in me that sex isn't going to fill. I need to fill something in me that more money isn't going to fill. I need to fill a hole in me that only the living Word can fill, only the bread of life can fill. And so he started reading God's Word. And he said, and as I was reading God's Word, I got to this point in this place, and I realized that I had a decision to make. If I was going to keep trying to fill my flesh, I was going to die. But if I would begin to start trying to fill my spirit and allow Him to come and fill me and give me life, then I would live. And he said, and that's when my life changed. That's when I surrendered everything to Him, and that's when He came into my heart and my life, and He changed my everything. Today's going to be that day for somebody here. As a matter of fact, maybe for a lot of somebodies, where God says, look, you've been trying to fill the empty void in your flesh forever, and right now I'm telling you that what I want to do is something far different than that. I want to fill the empty void in your spirit with myself. And so it says then that he was teaching all this while he was in the synagogue in Capernaum. And then it says that, and I'm so sorry, y'all, that I'm having such a hard time finding the place here. Yeah, here we go. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. And then he said, yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Now, right there, get the picture that so many of the disciples are right now saying, I can't even get my head around this. He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They're still thinking about their fleshly emptiness. And they're going like, if he ain't going to fill my fleshly emptiness, I don't even know that I even want to know about what he's telling me. And Jesus is saying, if this offends you, what's going to happen when you see me go back to where I came from? Don't you get it? The flesh counts for nothing. The Spirit brings life. The words I'm speaking to you aren't flesh. The words I'm speaking to you are words of life in the Spirit. I'm talking about what you really need, what really needs to fill you. And yet some of you don't believe. You're still so oriented. He knew the one who was going to betray him, it says. And you know that was Judas. And you know why Judas was going to betray him? Because all Judas was following Jesus for was he wanted his flesh filled. He wanted the money that was in the money bag. He wanted power. He wanted influence. He wanted Jesus to prop him up. And the reality is he wasn't seeking to have his Spirit filled. And so Jesus is saying, I know some of you are looking for the wrong thing, but if you're looking for life, I'll give you life. If you're looking to be filled up forever, I'll fill you up forever. If you will just let me and you'll get your mind off of your flesh and get your mind on your Spirit, on the Spirit, then the words I'm speaking to you will mean everything to you. And then he says, and look, you can't have this unless the Father draws you. He had said this to these guys because these people who claimed to believe in God and love God, he said, if you really love God, and you really listen to God, and you were really seeking God, then you would realize that God the Father sent me the Son to give you life. And so he's saying, the very reason that right now I can fill you up is that the Father is bringing you to me so that in me you can find life. And right now God's saying it to somebody in this room, and he's just saying, look, it's time to give it up. It's time to stop being about your flesh, and it's time to start being about being filled with the Spirit. It's time to start getting filled up in the way you really need to be filled up and receive what you really need to get from me. So he goes on and says this. In verse 66, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You don't want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Guys, I was just talking to a gentleman this week who said, you know what? Right now, the Word of God is what I'm hungry for. Because I tried to fill my life with all kinds of other stuff. And he said, and right now I'm realizing that God can fill my life. And that's what my life is about, is being filled by God. So he says, I'm hungry for His Word. I'm hungry for Him to teach me what's really true about me. I'm hungry for Him to fill me with His love. I'm hungry for Him to fill me with His Spirit. I'm hungry for Him to fill the void in me, the spiritual void that only He can fill. Do you realize that He has the words of life for you? He doesn't have words for you about how to get your flesh filled. He has words for you that will fill you spiritually forever. And so it says this in verse 69. Peter said to him, we've come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. We've come to believe that you're the Holy One of God. All those people who were looking for him, they said, hey, he's the prophet who was to come. You know what they were thinking? He's going to be the one who's going to set up an earthly kingdom, and he's going to one that's going to provide food for us just like Moses did. He's the one that's going to make everything. He's going to fill our flesh, and we'll make him king. But Peter's saying, we've come to believe you're the Holy One of God. The God that we seek, the God that we want a relationship with, you're the one that's going to bring us into a relationship with Him. And so, for me, and so for somebody here today, I got to that place where I was like, oh my goodness, God, I want so bad to feel the places in my flesh, and I want so bad for God to answer my prayers and give me all the things that I want, that the reason I was looking for Jesus was because I wanted my stomach full. I wanted my transcripts full. I wanted my bank account full. I wanted my garage full. I wanted to fill all the desires of my flesh, and that's why I was looking for Him. And when I finally came to realize that He wasn't interested in filling all that, what He really wanted to fill was my spirit, when I realized that, it was a wrestling. You know, in verse 66, when it says that from that time many turned back and no longer followed Him, there are many people here today who will just leave and you'll just say, well, if God isn't going to help me fulfill the desires of my flesh, if he's not going to help fill all the emptiness in my flesh, then I'm going to go find it somewhere else. And that's exactly what those people did. Many turned back and no longer followed him. And for me, I came that close to turning back and no longer following him. I remember the wrestling moment when I'm going like, man, I'm afraid he's going to have me give up a bunch of stuff. What is it in me that made me just feel like, God, I'm afraid you might take away some of the fleshly desires that I have. And God said, look, what you need right now is you need to be filled eternally by me. And so having come to him and asked him to fill me eternally and saying, come in, take over, take my life. I want to feed on you. I want to get hungry for you. I want to grow in you. From that day forward, here's what's interesting. There have been lots of times when I've been shot full of holes and all that stuff just pours out of me. But there's never been a time from that day until this that I've been empty. There's never been a time from that day until this that there wasn't something that filled me that just said, this is eternal, man. This is an eternal peace, an eternal joy, an eternal relationship that even in the midst of all the pain and all the suffering and all the trouble that life brings, I have from that moment until this had life. And that life will absolutely never end. So here's the question for you. Are you ready for him to fill your life? Are you ready for him to give you life? Are you ready to stop trying to fill the void in your flesh and let him fill the void in your spirit? He wants to do that now. Lord God, it's our prayer that you would, as we come to the end of this service, that people would get hungry for you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the praise team comes, I'm going to invite you to the altar. And the altar is here for anybody who would just come to him. He said, anyone who comes to me, I'll never drive them away. Anyone who comes to me, I'll give them life. Anyone who comes to me, you'll never be hungry, you'll never be thirsty. I'm going to fill you up if you would come to me. We invite you to come and be filled in the way you really need to be filled.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.